On November 17, Immigration Minister Peter Dutton said,
"The reality is that Malcolm Fraser did make mistakes in bringing some people in the 1970s, and we're seeing that today."
On November 21, he justified his comments during question time.
"Out of the last 33 people who have been charged with terrorist-related offences in this country, 22 of those people are from second and third generation Lebanese Muslim background. I'm not going to allow people who are hardworking to be defined by those people who are doing the wrong thing and have been charged with terrorist offences."
"That's right. It's really important not to define an entire community by defining an entire community as a mistake."
His claims about second and third generation Lebanese Australians and the Fraser government were designed specifically to justify the current government's harsh stance on refugees fleeing wars and persecution in places like Syria, Iraq and Sri Lanka. Other people who've been charged and then in some cases deported or tortured and then found not guilty are Vivian Solon, an Australian removed to the Philippines in 2001, Cornelia Rau, a German citizen with Australian permanent residency who was detained for 10 months back in 2004, Jack Thomas, who was convicted for receiving funds from Al-Qaeda but then had that conviction overturned in 2008, and Mamdou Habib, an Egyptian-Australian citizen who was held in Guantanamo Bay for 3 years after being sent by extraordinary rendition from Pakistan to Egypt, where he was tortured in 2001. He was released without charge in 2005. In 2010, an Egyptian official confirmed Habib's account of his torture in Egypt, and the Australian government made an out-of-court settlement. So while 22 out of 33 people may sound like a lot, we have no idea about the circumstances of the people Peter Dutton is referring to. They've been charged, not convicted, and as we've seen, they may still be found innocent. But against the government's actions, we've seen Brisbane act with compassion. We rallied at Lady Salento Children's Hospital to prevent baby Asher being transferred back to Nauru. Teachers called for student Moshan Shamsalapur to be returned to Brisbane after she was forcibly taken to a Darwin detention centre following a radio interview where she spoke of her plight as a refugee. Moshan recently graduated high school. And then there was Agok Yak, a former refugee who saved 11 people from a burning bus in Moruka. These are not isolated incidents. There are also national and international campaigns like No Business in Abuse, Sanctuary, Nurses, Doctors and Teachers for Refugees, and Love Makes a Way, which is what we're talking about today with Reverend Ken Baker. Ken is a minister at Placed Wesleyan Methodist Church in Brisbane's north. I asked him what it is about Love Makes a Way that speaks so clearly to him.
Love Makes a Way is important because it exposes some of these stories which are hidden, and it says to Australians, do you want this or do you want to find another way? I still remember out the front of the house that we were renting in New Farm, and it was night, and two young Hazara guys came, and we'd just had our first baby boy, and I was, you know, over the hill, I was a smitten dad, and I still remember one of the guys, I'll call him Al, and he had this beautiful smile, and they presented us with a few soft toys. And Al was just cuddling my little boy, Jeff. And I'm thinking, this guy, I know him, he's actually, you know, smiling, beaming, but he's actually broken because of, I think he was on Nauru for 4 years. Some of the others were three, some were five. And I was thinking at the time, on this beautiful, warm summer brizzy night, I'm standing with these guys, I'm thinking, wow, he's giving after all he's been through. We were drawn right into it because of friendship. And then also, my faith calls me to be more courageous than I can be, actually, but it just keeps on calling me.
Have you been involved in any actions or protests?
Yes, I have. I've been involved in quite a lot of protests, but the most significant things for me were two actions in which we were prepared to be arrested, and we ended up being arrested. They were prayerful sit-ins, and so we went into politicians' offices, Peter Dutton, who was at the time Minister for Health, and then later George Brandis, Attorney General, and we went in with a request that children would be released. The government would give a time frame commitment, and we said we wouldn't leave until that ask was granted. There was some elderly nuns, some priests, ministers of religion.
Never a good look arresting people like that, is it?
Part of why there has been some mainstream media coverage, and we've been able to get at least some traction. And I think that the reason why is because people just kind of look again. What? what are these ministers of religion and nuns? What are they getting arrested for? And that's the point of it. The point is that people might ask why.
And how does protest and arrest sit with your faith?
My faith does two things. One is it tells me to construct and help and build and work towards social cohesion and order. We need all that stuff. But the second is there's a really clear stream of the troublemakers who say that these institutions that are meant to order society for good, they have a tendency to start looking after themselves. And yet we have these images of this God coming down in the wilderness, not up enthroned. And then this God basically says to his people, if you want to claim to be my people, you have to be the people of empathy. At the point at which the governing body starts to violate humanity, then we're actually called to break out of that system. For me, that's really challenging because my general lean is to actually get along with people and to not cause too much of a ruckus, but these faith stories keep on calling me out of that.
Have you or anyone you know approached Peter Dutton's office to discuss the humane and ethical side of refugee policy?
Many times and in many ways. So there's been phone calls, there's been letters written. One of the mums who's involved in our group has quite often gone with flowers and with a card and just saying to the staff, we want a different way. So there's been multiple different approaches, but it's very, very minimal interaction. Just no word back.
And I've also heard that Peter Dutton's office is kind of locked and you've got to sort of press a buzzer to get in. Is that correct?
That is what we've found. And when we did our very first action, we were able to walk in through the door and we just started sitting down and setting up and praying and things like that in a little tiny foyer. But ever since then, the office has been locked. And talking to people in his electorate, they've said that that is the case. So I imagine it still is the case. I haven't heard differently.
And finally, what other non-arrestable actions does Love Makes Away conduct?
We sang Christmas carols with the Salvation Army, I think it was four-piece brass band, I think, outside of the Department of Immigration in Brisbane. And, you know, there's Christmas carols about reindeers and that, but there's also Christmas carols about this, you know, refugee Jesus who comes and speaks subversive words of love that topples violence and empires. And so some of the Christmas carols that tap into those kind of deep faith traditions, singing that stuff, having worked for some of these friends who've come seeking our help and haven't been helped, singing that stuff in that location while, you know, hundreds of people were walking by. Now, that was a pretty inspiring and moving event.
That was Reverend Ken Baker, minister at Placed Wesleyan Methodist Church, speaking with us about Love Makes Away. To contact Love Makes Away, go to www.lovemakesaway.org.au or you can search for the Love Makes Away Facebook page. To contact No Business in Abuse, go to www.nobusinessinabuse.org or for information about the Australian Human Rights Commission, go to www.humanrights.gov.au. Audio there at the beginning of that story was from SBS's The Feed. You're listening to 4ZZZ FM's Brisbane Line.